we are overlooking a second biological rhythm that women, only women in their reproductive years have, and it is called the infradian rhythm. This is as important, if not more important, for women to take care of than their circadian rhythm in the reproductive years, because it affects six key systems of the body.
Hi everyone, Drew Prode here, host of the Brooke Made Podcast. In today's episode, we have Alisa Vitti here to talk to us about getting in the flow and how women can unlock their hormonal advantage. This is a game-changing conversation. You won't want to miss it. Here we go. Welcome to the Broken Brain Podcast, where we dive deep into the topics of neuroplasticity, epigenetics, mindfulness, functional medicine, and mindset, all with the goal of helping you understand how your brain is not broken. I'm your host, Drew Prode, and each week my team and I bring on a new guest who we think can help you improve your brain health, feel better, and live more. This week's guest is a friend of mine, longtime friend.
Yay!
We've known each other for a few years now. Alisa Vitti. Alisa Vitti is a pioneer of female biohacking, a women's hormone and functional nutrition expert, and the author of Woman Code and the now released In the Flow, Unlock Your Hormonal Advantage and Revolutionize Your Life. Alisa, welcome to the Broken Brain Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Drew. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm going to jump right in to hormonal advantage. You know, a few weeks ago, my girlfriend and I were having a conversation. And it was before she was about to get her period. And she was basically in a state where I won't get into all the words, but you can curse on this podcast.
Okay, cool.
And so she was like, the gist of it was like, this does not feel like an advantage right now.
Yeah.
This feels like a big weight. And I know a lot of women have felt that before.
Yeah.
Why us? We go through all this stuff. Then the add on top of that, the gender pay gap and this thing and that thing. And it just feels like there's a lot of huge burden that's there on women. But in your subtitle, you say hormonal advantage. Tell us why it's a hormonal advantage.
Well, I just love that you bring right to the beginning of this conversation, the cultural narrative and the mythology that we're dealing with, right? We have inherited a cultural narrative that says that our periods, our hormones are a curse, that they're problematic, that they're mysterious, that they're unpredictable, that they're problematic, and that there's nothing to be done. And that you're going to, and then the mythology is that they're going to be painful and they're going to have symptoms and there's just nothing you can do. Just bide your time until menopause, right? That's pretty much, you know, in the nutshell, so to speak, the narrative that we have. The problem with this is that A, it's not based on real science. B, it perpetuates a huge behavioral problem for women, which has them basically, when you believe that something is supposed to be broken, when you see it as broken, you then do what? You take no action, right? So it puts women in this situation where they don't think that there's anything to do, and then they do nothing, which then keeps them having symptoms. It's a vicious cycle. So, you know, it feeds then, it goes right back and feeds this cultural narrative, this mythology that says it's going to be a burden, it's going to be a big problem, and women just feel stuck and they feel unhappy. And the truth of it is, it's completely false. It doesn't need to be this way. And I have figured out a way for women to liberate themselves from the mythology, from the cultural narrative, and also from the actual real symptoms too, which I'm just so excited to share about.
I can't wait to dig into it. Let's talk origin story.
Yeah.
What got you interested in this topic? And what education were you brought up with? And when did things shift for you?
Okay. So, I mean, for me, I definitely have, you know, had my own run-in with a hormonal issue that opened my eyes to the limitations of conventional medicine for chronic GYN issues. So there I was, you know, at Johns Hopkins, planning to become an OBGYN, and had sort of the apex of symptoms with what I now know to be the polycystic ovarian syndrome that no one knew that I had. So, you know, at that time, for at least 7 years, I went undiagnosed. And I grew up in Massachusetts. I had access to Harvard-trained gynecologists. Then, of course, at Hopkins, I had access to Hopkins-trained gynecologists. I had the best of the best. And I went undiagnosed for 7 years. When I finally was able to get a diagnosis, it was through helping my gynecologist by bringing her a report from a medical journal that I had pulled out of the library at school that had identified all the symptoms that I was having. And I said, I have this.
Could you share what those symptoms were?
Oh, I was 50 pounds heavier than I am now. So I had obesity. I was covered face, chest, and back in cystic acne. I did not menstruate from the age of 12 to 22. I had maybe 5 bleeds, 2 of which were chemically induced with synthetic progesterone, which if anybody has done that knows that it is
hellacious experience. And so, I was anxious, depressed, insomniacal. It was a mess. I couldn't really function in my day-to-day life with any sort of regularity, predictability. I would never know, like, today going to be a day when I had energy? Was I going to be in a good mood? It was kind of a really negative, scary, isolating experience. And then all the physical symptoms certainly didn't make anyone feel good about themselves. So, in one of my insomniacal nights at the library, I, like any young woman in her 20s would do, on a Friday night or Saturday night, I was like researching medical journals and obstetrics journals to figure out what was wrong with me, because no one had any answers. Everyone was just saying, oh, just go on the pill and that'll solve these problems. And I said, but you don't even know what the problem is. And they said, that's true, but we should try this anyway. And I just didn't feel like that was good medicine for me to without a known cause take medication for no accurate reason. I believe in more precision kind of based medicine. So I found this journal. It was an obstetrics journal, and there was a little tiny article about the Stein-Leventhal disorder that described my symptoms to a T, and all the bells rang inside of my head, and I said, oh my gosh, this is what I have. So I waited in the parking lot of my gynecologist's office the next morning. She was literally like walking in with her coffee, and she's like, what are you doing here? And I said, well, what I'm doing here is that I would like us to do two specific tests that we have not yet done that I think will lead us to the conclusion that I have this disorder. And she was intrigued enough and gracious enough, without having an appointment, to do these tests, and was able to confirm my diagnosis that, in fact, I did have polycystic ovaries and polycystic ovarian syndrome. And when I was so excited, Drew, like, oh my goodness, after years of confusion and dead ends and no answers, to have something, a name for it, it was very validating.
It's a sense of identity that I'm not just crazy.
Right. I'm not.
There's something actually going on.
There's something going on. And I said, excellent. And I said, so now what? Which is sort of like the New Englander in me, like, now what do we do? Let's take action. And she said, well, unfortunately, there isn't really much that we can do for you. This is incurable. And, you're going to continue to have problems. The obesity that you have today is going to get worse. It might turn into diabetes. You will have problems with fertility. You may not be able to have children. You will have an increased risk of heart disease and cancer. And I'm 20 at this time, getting this prognosis after the diagnosis and asking for what support my medical support team was going to offer me. And she said, we really just don't have anything. We can just medicate your symptoms along the way and hope for the best, but there's nothing that we can do. And it was in that moment, which I, you don't plan for these things. I wasn't like looking to react a particular way. It was all happening in real time. But in that moment, this very specific, loud voice, or, I don't know how exactly to describe it, it was just like, that's not your future.
An internal wisdom.
Good way to describe it. And I just repeated that to her. I said, that's not my future. So I was terrified. It was a very terrifying moment to just have to be facing this. And so I just repeated what this voice was saying. And she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go take my very expensively trained mind and figure this out. And she said, well, I'll be here when you want the prescription for the pill. And
she's so, like, first of all, you chase me down in the parking lot. You paparazzi me. And then you tell me I'm not going to listen. It was great. You were forging your own journey. So what happened from there?
So I proceeded to really get deeply more into the research around functional nutrition, epigenetics, chronobiology, Chinese medicine, and really started piecing together what the endocrine system needs to be brought back online. Because fundamentally, what I discovered in my research was that most of these conditions, these castaway GYN conditions, like fibroids, like endometriosis, like PCOS, where there's nothing really that we have from conventional medicine to help women like us. That's why I call them castaway, because we're kind of like left to figure it out. They're fundamentally caused by systematic endocrine disruption. And if you simply start to support the endocrine system, the body resolves the symptoms, and it just works so efficiently and safely across the board for these different conditions. And that's really the origin story of my transformation. It was amazing to watch my body just recover, 50 pounds coming off without deprivation, without intense workouts, my skin clearing up, and my ovulation and my cycle coming back. It came back at 22. It has not left me yet. So, you know, that's just a beautiful thing. And of course, I was able to have a child on my own without any artificial reproductive technology, which was really great, at advanced maternal age on the third try, which is something that I think is a testament to when you take care of your hormones take care of you. And that led me to create Flow Living because I wanted to not have a woman feel the way that I did, you know, which was sort of confused, alone, scared, overwhelmed, and not sure where to start. And I promised myself, Drew, that if I could figure out how to get myself back online hormonally, that I would create a platform for other women to be able to do the same. And that's how Flow Living was born. And then, of course, I wrote the first book, Woman Code, which has become a bestseller among the period problem set, which is really great. And then, you know, I think in my work over the past 20 years working with women, I have become increasingly concerned about what's happened over the past just decade, right? I've been working in this space for almost 20 years, but in the past decade especially, we've had this geometric explosion in the content for wellness for women, right? Online, articles, media outlets, all sorts of things. It's a wonderful thing. Very happy to see that. But I started asking myself a question. If there's wellness everywhere, why are women sicker than ever before? Why is it now that 50% of women are struggling with hormonal issues and autoimmune issues compared to men, not even in the same ballpark from a percentage point of view in terms of their population? Why is that? And I started asking myself this question, why? Because the first question I asked was, well, why do hormones fall apart, right? And that led me to write Woman Code. This next question is what led me to write this book. And the answers really astounded me. You know, the first is that women in their reproductive years are left out of medical, fitness, and nutrition research.
We just had, right before you, I don't know when the podcasts are going to air. I think yours is going to come out first because your book is out now.
That's so kind.
We had Dr. Lisa Moscone on the podcast.
Love her work.
And
it's
a big part of her theme that we'll eventually get to her interview is that nobody's doing research when it comes to women.
That's right.
And Alzheimer's, even though women are two times as likely to develop Alzheimer's.
That's right. And this is dangerous. And medicine knows how dangerous this is, that they don't have enough research and studies on drugs, on procedures that are being done on women to deliver these things more safely to women. So in 1998, the National Institute of Health put a special task force committee together to encourage researchers to include more women in clinical trials. In 2016, the status report was that progress was slim to none. So we're still in that situation. Fitness and nutrition is no better. You know, the statistic is really small. I mean, there's only maybe sometimes 20% of women are included, but mostly it's men and postmenopausal women because there's this, I think it's just an old gender bias that's just needs updating. I don't think it's malicious. I just think it's just sort of an inherited thing, a legacy.
But people see what they were trained to see.
Yeah, and they just think, oh, it's too complicated. I think they make this assumption that it's going to be somehow too complicated to do studies on women in their reproductive years. And of course, there was the thalidomide scare in the 60s that we put more guidelines around how doing studies around women in their reproductive years should be done safely. But that's the thing. It's the 21st century. We can figure this out, and we must. So that was the first thing. And really looking at all these diet and fitness trends, like intermittent fasting, keto, high-intensity interval training. You know, that joke is you see these commercials where it's like the woman starts that diet or that workout plan and her male friend starts the same one. And a month later, he's achieved all these results. And a month later, she's fat and frustrated and like confused, right? Well, why is that? And that led me to the second part of my discovery, which was that we are overlooking a second biological rhythm that women, only women in their reproductive years have, and it is called the infradian rhythm. This is as important, if not more important, for women to take care of than their circadian rhythm in their reproductive years because it affects six key systems of the body. We experience it over the course of our monthly cycle, but it is much more all-encompassing than just being about your period. Your period is maybe will give you symptoms of how disruptive you are being to your infradian rhythm. But it affects your brain, your metabolism, your immune system, your microbiome, your stress response system, and your reproductive system. So you can see that if I look at the pantheon of symptoms that women are having, moodiness, fatigue, overwhelm, burnout, weight issues, hormone issues, autoimmune issues, stress and anxiety issues, now we have a unifying root cause. It is that we are all fundamentally in our reproductive years living in a way, eating in a way, working out in a way that is disrupting this infradian rhythm. And it is causing us health issues in the short term, and it will set us up for diseases of inflammation in the long term. And this was so extraordinary for me to see that I felt compelled to not only identify the problem in a book, but also create the solution for women.
So before we break down the infradian system,
rhythm,
I want to start at the basics.
Yeah.
Because I'm always surprised because a lot of us get education, but we forget education. And then sometimes we don't get any education when it comes to our bodies and how they work. Let's start off with the basics. Endocrine system.
Okay.
You talked about it earlier. Just give us the fundamentals. Yeah. For the person who's listening, like, I've heard that a million times, but I'm not actually sure if I know what it is and how it exactly works.
The endocrine system is the sort of the orchestra of glands and organs that communicate with each other via the chemical language of hormones. And they provide different stimulus to the body. So you may get stimulated to make more thyroid hormone to help with regulating your body temperature, or you may get stimulated to make more follicular stimulating hormone to mature some eggs in the ovary, etc. They all help the organs physically do something, either secrete a hormone or talk to another organ or gland. It's pretty amazing. And it's very elegant orchestration, and it's very interdependent. So the idea that you would isolate, like, oh, you're just having a thyroid issue, is not logical when you look at the way that the endocrine system is interconnected. And the endocrine system has sort of order of prioritization, which was one of the reasons why the flow protocol is so popular and successful and effective, is because we think, oh, we're having a thyroid issue, let's take supplements for the thyroid, or we're having ovulation problems, let's take supplements for that symptom. But really, the endocrine system has one, for anybody who's a Star Trek nerd like me, it has one prime directive, one main function, which is to safeguard the transport of glucose to the brain, the heart, and the muscle tissue. If you do anything to disrupt its prime directive, the rest of the hormonal cascade across the endocrine channel will become disrupted. So this is why what you eat for breakfast, when you have that cup of caffeine, depending if it's on an empty stomach or not, will affect you pretty profoundly during the day and then across the month.
So let's talk about some examples, because I want to build on that and then get to the rest of the systems that we were talking about. A lot of women know, and men, some men, know about extreme examples that when a woman is a marathon runner or might be training really intensely hard, she may not have sometimes her period anymore. Is that an example of the prioritization that happens inside
that
the body?
That is typically because her body fat will become insufficient for her to maintain her period. It will be either that, or it will be what we're going to learn about when we get into the infradian rhythm, where she's training it too intensely at the wrong time, disrupting cortisol. And if you start disrupting cortisol, that can disrupt your thyroid and that can shut down ovulation. So it can be one of those two scenarios, either not enough body fat, right? You've gotten down to, let's say, under 12%, which, depending on how athletic you are, this is a problem I actually talk a little bit about in the book with women who are in gymnastics and things like that, where they get very, very lean and they lose their period. Now we know that our period is our fifth vital sign of health, and it's essential for your well-being, like your temperature, right? And someone gave a great example. It's like we're all walking around with 105 degree temperature doing nothing, not seeking any support, thinking that that's normal.
And sometimes even people who are think that they're eating very healthy. Little anecdote, personal anecdote. Years ago when we first met, there was a young woman, friend of mine, that I sent your way. And then she ended up signing up for your online program at the time and like followed the system. She was in the modeling industry and was doing her best to be healthy, which was at that time she thought that was vegan, plant-based. Mm-hmm. That was like the craze of raw food movement and
There's
everything.
There's always a trend.
There's always a trend that's there. and had lost her period for the last like few years. It was like 3 or 4 years, and then started implementing your program. This must have been almost like 2008.
It had to be
2008 or 2009. Somewhere around there.
If it was the online program, it was either 2012 or 13.
Okay, so maybe back then.
Yeah. Still
it was
a long time ago.
Still a long time ago.
I've been doing this a long time.
Yes. Yeah. And started incorporating, changing her diet around, which I'm sure we're going to get into recommendations and the whole system and everything. And then within a matter of about 4 months, got her period back.
Yeah, it's not complicated. This is the thing. We, again, that cultural narrative and that mythology that says, ooh, women's hormones, it's like this black hole of mysterious, unpredictable, yikes. You know, it causes us all to avoid it. But the truth is, it's so straightforward and simple, just like everything in nature. I mean, I think Einstein figured this out because it's certainly not my, discovery. Nature is super efficient and extremely elegant in its complexity. I mean, you have to only look at a fractal, you know, to see just how amazing nature designs itself to be, right? Self-replicating and the way it's, biology is amazing. But this idea that we have decided to describe women's hormones as problematic and complex and mysterious then has the net psychological effect of women feeling that way, believing it to be true, and doing nothing and settling for suffering, which you should never do. You know, you shouldn't settle for uncomfortable shoes, you know, a bad partner, a job you don't like, or hormone problems. You know, add that to the list.
Add it to the list. So let's talk about this system, the one that you came across.
The cycle syncing.
Well, no, not the cycle syncing. So, infradian. Can you spell that out?
The infradian rhythm.
Infradian. Yeah, infradian rhythm. Rhythm.
Not a system.
I keep on saying system.
Yeah,
and I mean
it's
rhythm.
A biological rhythm.
And so when you say
I'll
that
spell
you can't. And yeah, could you spell it out?
Infradian.
And you were saying that when you came across that, because a lot of your work previously talked about our circadian rhythms and the components
that were
there.
Talked about the cycle and our hormones and the endocrine system.
But right.
When I came across this, this answered that question that I had been mulling over for
the piece of the puzzle.
5 years. Like, why are so many, why is this getting worse? Why, with now everything being online, everything being something that we can access so easily, women being able to connect with each other and crowdsource an education, because we all agree that we didn't get enough of an education about our bodies, and you even said so earlier, we all need to learn more. Why is it that we're not getting healthier? Why is it that 1 in 8 couples is now infertile? Why is it that 1 in 2 women will experience a thyroid disorder? Why are autoimmune issues on the rise for women? Why are so many women struggling with their periods? I'm one of those systems thinkers, so I just needed to have that answer. And the answer really is just so obvious. It's so clear that the more we disrupt this infradian rhythm, the more these 6 systems of the body go out of optimal functioning. And we have a whole variety of symptoms that from a conventional medical point of view will look disconnected. But when we look at it from this functional, very root cause of the infradian biological rhythm, this is a chronobiological term. And why haven't we heard of infradian rhythm before? Chronobiology is a relatively young vertical within biology. So, you know, we're now just starting to get more, let's say, hip to the idea of chronobiology, because circadian rhythm has become so popularized in mainstream media. If you're listening or watching this podcast with your blue light blocking glasses on, you're someone who knows about chronobiology, whether you know that term or not. Taking care of that has become much more important. The Nobel Prize was awarded to 2 geneticists who figured out which genes actually help protect and keep your circadian rhythm functioning. So we're getting really interested in chronobiology. Why? Because it is the ultimate form of biohacking, right? Playing to your strengths, your physical biochemical strengths at a given time within a day, or for women across the infradian cycle, which you experience over the course of the month. And men and women have to do this very differently.
In fact, you say that, you know, women are not just little men.
Not at all. But that's, again, one of those holdovers from this lack of research in medicine. You know, we're just like making this assumption that, oh, you know, well, we'll give this person anesthesia based on her body mass index, but we're making that assumption as if she's a smaller man, right? And so we're doing that as well with, like,
intermittent fasting, the research on intermittent fasting and keto and high intensity interval training is shocking when you look at it for women in their reproductive years. I was shocked because you hear all the great stories about the research for intermittent fasting slows down aging, reverses aging, improves insulin sensitivity, improves cognitive performance. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. And it is true that those things are possible. But the cohort that was studied, the research was done on men and postmenopausal women. The little bit of research that has been done on women in their reproductive years with an active infradian rhythm is that intermittent fasting done in the way that is promoted for men, that is promoted, let's say, in the mainstream conversation right now, that it's good for everybody. It actually has the extreme opposite effect. It worsens insulin sensitivity. It increases brain fog. It destabilizes mood. And oh, by the way, it shrinks your ovaries. So if you're in your reproductive years,
which, by the way, reproductive years really is from the time that you have puberty till all the way before menopause, which is
perimenopause.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 4 decades on average of your life.
The vast majority of people that are listening to this podcast are in that category.
That's right.
If you're a woman.
That's right. And just to clear up any confusion, do you still have an active infradian rhythm after your last period when you are postmenopausal? No. You go back to having your one biological rhythm, your circadian rhythm, just like children, just like men do their whole lives. And you don't have to, you know, contend with your infradian rhythm. But while it's active, you do need to support it, period, pun intended.
So let's take that example, just like you gave us the example of intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Right? What is another example that's out there that we take for granted and we think like, well, part of being wellness, being healthy and being in the wellness community is about doing this, but it may not be the same way for women.
Not may not, definitely not good. So let's take high intensity interval training, right? That is the optimal workout. We're talking about what is gonna, because everybody in the biohacking community is interested in optimizing our health because we're trying to increase our longevity and optimize our brain power and, you know, prevent dementia. And this is really what this is all about, right? So we look at what's the optimal workout. And right now, everybody's pretty convinced that it's high intensity interval training. It gets you the most results with the least amount of impact and input in terms of time put in. So that's true, again, if you're a man and if you're postmenopausal. But in your reproductive years, if you do high intensity interval training at the wrong time in your cycle, which I'm not going to withhold, I will tell you when that wrong time is. If you do it at the wrong time in your cycle, you will turn on fat storage and turn on muscle wasting. So this means that if you're doing the same workout the whole month, at best, at the end of the month, you will have no delta with your weight if you are trying to have a weight shift, or with muscle gain, lean muscle gain. You'll have no delta. That's at best. At worst, if you do the same high intensity interval training every day like you're supposed to, you know, according to all of these, whoever, whatever they are, then you are going to gain fat and lose lean muscle. And I first encountered this in my practice almost 20 years ago when the trend to get fit was training for a triathlon. And women would come to me and they say, I don't understand. I've been running every day, swimming, biking, and I gained 20 pounds. Why? And I have an answer for that. And the U.S. women's soccer team takes this so seriously. They train all their female athletes according to their infradian rhythm to optimize their performance. It's extraordinary how they're leading the way in this conversation.
You know, part of the larger component that's there is that for years, years and years and years, and still very much today, women were not studied, right? That's what we were talking about earlier. Right. They were not part of the research. So a lot of the things that we're seeing in the space of biohacking, many of the things that people that have come on the podcast and talk about the benefits of, often are related to the research primarily on men. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is we're also in this great time period, and this is very much a part of that conversation where it's like women can do everything that men can do, and
absolutely,
nobody can hold them back from anything like that, and they should be able to do whatever they want to do. And that's the beautiful part of this conversation. And there's a third layer, which is the layer you're introducing, is like, look, those things are there and to be aware of them. And there are fundamental differences in the body. That doesn't mean that it prevents you from anything. No. It doesn't mean that it holds you back from anything. It just means that your superpowers rely, your hormonal advantage relies in understanding how it affects you because you are different.
And equal. And let me give an example in the inverse. Like, so for guys, I love using this because it lights up everybody's brain with understanding and clarity. So men have a hormonal biological rhythm that follows the circadian cycle very closely. And how specifically? Every night when a man goes to sleep, he makes all the testosterone that he is going to have access to for the next 24 hours, right? So it's really important for men to get to bed as early as possible so they have the longest amount of time to manufacture all that testosterone. The less sleep they get, the less testosterone they make, and they might actually think that they have low testosterone when in fact they just are not getting enough sleep to make all the testosterone they could make. It's also beneficial for them to wake up as early as possible, 5 to 6 a.m., because at that time they also get the full concentration of testosterone release in their bloodstream coupled with cortisol, a big boost of cortisol. So you should, as a healthy man, wake up full of vim and vigor, whatever that means to you, and you should 1,000,000% structure your morning to take full advantage of your biochemical reality, which is driven by testosterone and cortisol, which a lot of men do. And I started paying attention to this because, you know, I'm like anybody else. I want to maximize my day, maximize my time, be as successful as I can, trying to help as many women as I can. And I was looking into this power morning concept, whatever you want to call it, your morning routine concept.
Hour of power, hour early power, morning,
all that stuff, anything early morning.
Tim Cook wakes up at 4 a.m. This person wakes up at this time.
It's so amazing. And I would try, I'm a researcher, so I'm like, okay, let me try these things. And I would try them for a couple of weeks, and then I would find it to be impossible to do. And I, of course, would ask, well, why? It's not for lack of willpower. It's not for lack of commitment. I'm a pretty, you know, ambitious person. I will do what I say I'm going to do. And I wanted to know what was the fundamental difference. So I'll finish explaining the men, then I'll explain the women. So for men, it makes a lot of sense to front load their morning, to do as much of their deep work as they can before noon. And then as their testosterone and cortisol wanes in the midday to afternoon, to start scheduling more in-person social meetings at that time, to do more of that networking stuff, happy hour around 4 o'clock, whatever, if that's part of your career lifestyle, and then to get into the bear cave, you know, after dinner and start to wind down, take in some inspirational information, go to bed.
You just described my schedule exactly, minus the happy hour, but everything else is exactly my schedule.
And this is not just you. This is all men. This is the optimal schedule, optimal timing of activities. Not only that, you should do that same intensity workout every morning, and you should structure your meals, calories in, etc., exactly the same way every single day. This optimizes all of the systems of the male body perfectly. This is also why corporate culture is structured this way. Early morning to work, meetings in the afternoon. It is to optimize male biology because men were only in corporations for a long time before women got allowed to be participating.
They set the schedule.
Right, they set the schedule. In fact, this is not a political commentary, but
make a political commentary if you want.
Just because I look at everything through the lens of biology and especially chronobiology, really the patriarchy, in my opinion, is just a culture that has evolved around one biological rhythm.
I totally see
optimizing it. For that. So what is the female biological rhythm and how is that different? So we shift throughout the cycle in specific ways. I mean, Dr. Catherine Woolley in 1996 at Northwestern University did some groundbreaking research to show definitively that the female brain actually changes by up to 25% over the course of the month. It's so exciting to know that because it's predictable. It gives you a huge advantage. Just like your brain changes throughout the day because of hormonal stimulation and you organize your activities around that, more deep work in the morning, more social activities in the afternoon, our brains change just over the course of the month in similar ways. So if you knew which phase of the cycle, which time in the month hormones were stimulating your brain to be more verbal and social, wouldn't you want to organize your verbal oriented activities at that time, if it's to make a presentation or give a speech or, you know, ask for a raise, go on a first date, whatever, go to networking events, anything that would allow you to take advantage of that hormonal moment in that particular timing, you should front load your schedule with that. Instead of having to do it in the construct of 24 hours, which men have to do it. You only have that 24 hours. It's Groundhog Day. It's the same every day. The goal, if you have male biochemistry and a male hormonal biological rhythm, is to strive for sameness every day. Do the same things at the same time, and you will create an increase in energy. You will build your energy momentum. You will achieve. You will feel healthy. You will optimize your body. For women, the goal is not to stay the same. That is the problem. And it originates from this idea that we're the same, biologically speaking, and we're not, but women still are operating like, oh, well, I have to eat the same every day in order to be healthy. I have to work out the same in order to be healthy. But you have to change. The goal for a woman is to do things in a dynamic way, not to stay the same, but to be dynamic and to change what she's eating, change what she's doing as a workout, and prioritize differently the things that she's working on to unlock her hormonal advantage, right? To take advantage of it as opposed to ignore it. And why would you not want to ignore it? Because the more you work against the infradian rhythm, it increases the stress load on the body, right? So for example, if you were to try to do deep work at 10 o'clock at night, how would that feel for you? Would you feel energized by that or stressed? Would you feel stress physically in your body?
Probably like in my early 20s, I would stay up late just because that was the culture, living right in New York, that sort of thing. But now today, it's not my preference at all.
Right. Yeah, you can do it once in a while.
Yeah.
But if you were to do that all the time, you would start to absolutely feel all the physical signs of stress and emotional changes from that.
1,000%.
Women are doing that every day in all of these different ways. And so all of this stress and overwhelm and fatigue and burnout that women are feeling inordinately has to do with the fact that we are trying to squeeze ourselves into a circadian lifestyle when we need an infradian one. And in fact, because I was somebody who was struggling with time management so much, trying to squeeze myself, and again, this was before I understood what was going on. Now, because I now know what's going on, I built the world's first time management system for women in chapter 6 it's a daily planner that incorporates both your circadian and your infradian rhythm, so you can plan your day and your month taking care of this infradian rhythm, supporting it, not disrupting it all the time.
Let's hear maybe one or two more examples in your life of when you've discovered this rhythm and you've added it in on top of everything else that you were doing, how you started to shift your own schedule to optimize and take advantage of your hormones.
I mean, I do this all the time. It's totally second nature. So the solution I created has a name. It's called the cycle syncing method. So how do we support? After I figured out, well, why are women so sick and what's the root cause? And it's this infradian rhythm disruption. Then I needed to create a solution so that we are not constantly disrupting it. And the solution is the cycle syncing method, where you eat, exercise, and work in ways that are in alignment with your hormonal changes. It's so simple. It just takes a little bit of like getting oriented. You'd like a little orientation. So the first thing that I started doing was simply just honoring the metabolic shifts, the cortisol shifts, making sure I was eating and exercising in the ways that worked across the infradian cycle to optimize my energy, maximize my stamina, all of those things. Keep my blood sugar stable, keep my mood stable, keep my energy growing. And then you get in a rhythm with that, a routine with that, and you start to feel really, really good, and you want to start having that energy that you have in excess spill over to other areas of your life. So this goes well beyond the self-care, just like your self-care takes you well beyond your body, right? You use your healthy body as a foundation, your healthy mind and body as a foundation to springboard into creating things in your life, do you not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, without it, you would be creating less. So for women, we need that healthy foundation, right? And that's what the food and the fitness and the time management system will help you, give you that personal, intimate, physical foundation. And then you can springboard and take advantage of this in other areas of your life, at work, in your relationships. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get to talk about the fact that 60% of women are sexually unsatisfied, but there's a reason for that that's not random. Has to do with the infradian rhythm. And then, of course, motherhood. I have a 5-year-old daughter, And I was delighted. I was hoping, but I, you know, hadn't lived the experience. And since I'm the intrepid pioneer for this method, I had to go through it to know if it was going to work in the realm of motherhood. And I was thrilled and relieved to know that I can use this to my advantage to make motherhood less overwhelming. Because as a mom, you have all of these immediate priorities. Like everything has to happen now, it feels like, with your kid. Like, and there's just an unending list of tasks and administrative things and school stuff and doctor stuff and boo-boos and bedtimes. It's just all happening all at once. And so to be able to organize, for example, I only schedule play dates or family gatherings during the phase in which my brain is getting stimulated, where my social and verbal centers are peaking, because that's pleasurable for me and does not drain my energy. And I only schedule like things like, I don't know, doing a deep clean or packing up summer clothes, because now we're moving into fall and winter. I only do that during the phase where progesterone is high and I'm interested in doing that kind of deep work and getting things done. I try to time things in such a way that it's always feels pleasurable, feels good, feels positive, right? Doesn't, I mean, pleasure, we all have like, that might be a loaded word, but just feels positive and not like a burden.
It's downhill instead of uphill.
That's a great way to put it. Instead of feeling like, ugh, I don't want to do this. It feels like you're pushing yourself to do something. Everything feels like that flow, right? And this also came out of my, you know, I remember reading that book, Flow. I remember listening to Tony Robbins. I've always been fascinated by this idea of the peak flow state. You know, athletes get into a peak flow state. Tony Robbins talks a lot about a peak flow state. I wanted to feel like I was in a peak flow state, and I never did. First of all, having my whole infradian rhythm be completely dysfunctional when my endocrine system was not working, right? I definitely experienced what it's like to have that be totally shut down, not working. I mean, it's a huge opportunity cost to not have it be functional. And the net result of that is I was not in any peak flow state. I could barely function during the day. I could barely get out of bed when I wanted to or go to sleep when I wanted to. I was not in control of my body. It was just a mess. And then when I started to get my health back and my hormones functioning, I wanted to take it to the next level of, well, how do I maintain a peak flow state all the time? And that's one of the reasons why the book is called In the Flow, because when you synchronize your food, your fitness, your activities, motherhood, whatever you're doing, your sex life, to your infradian cycle, you are continuously in a peak flow state. You can architect this. You can plan for it. It doesn't have to be this hit or miss, mysterious, I wonder when it's going to happen kind of thing. You can bank on it.
And at least if you have the awareness, there might be some times in your life where you have to orient to a schedule.
Yeah, of course.
Friends getting married,
yes,
or this situation or that.
Totally.
You may know and you may plan accordingly to say, okay, I might need some more downtime. We have this social setting, but I need
that
off to compensate.
Yeah.
Like for instance, right now, you're in LA, you're doing a bunch of interviews, you're running around.
I'm in my luteal phase.
So explain that.
So yeah, so the first place I'm going to explain it is like with eating organic food.
Yeah.
Ideally, you would eat it 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen all of the time. And the reality is, if you give yourself a period of time where you take a break from the you know, glyphosates and the chemicals and the pesticides in food, and you let your system, it only takes 7 days for that to come out in the urine, right? It's a very fast process in the body. If you give yourself a break from that food and then you just give yourself a week of just eating organic, maybe two, after that, if you go down to 80% organic and 20%, you know, whatever, your body can handle that stress. That load is something that your body can balance for you. It's designed for maximum detoxification as long as you're healthy, right? Is it optimal? Would you rather you be eating organic all the time? Of course, but it's okay to not be perfect, right? Similarly with this, you cannot, let's say with work, if you have a deadline or something, or like me right now, I'm traveling and it's in a phase of my cycle that's less than ideal. You can't always sync with everything with your cycle, but this is the phase that you're in. And so what do you do? And this is where the time management system comes in, because it actually breaks down for you what are the compensation techniques that you should engage based on the activity that's taking you out of sync. So the more it's taking you out of sync, the more demand it is placing on your energy reserves, the more you want to put back into the energy bank account. It's like managing your bank account, right? If you take money out and you just keep taking money out, what will happen? Soon you will have no money. If you take money out and you say, gee, okay, let me you know, put my paycheck back in, then everything is good. Very, very similar to this process, right? So I'm using more energy than I would like to this phase, but I'm doing things to compensate. I'm, you know, I brought all of my supplements. I brought my own teas. I'm getting lots of sleep at night. I'm staying at a hotel that is a wellness-based hotel. I'm eating really clean. And when I go home, I am doing a day of body work and no work, right? So compensating for all of this energy output. And at the same time, I also have to admit that for me, teaching, speaking about this work, this is my thing. So whenever I do it across my cycle, gives me energy. So it's not a big energy drain for me to do this type of work. Everyone has something like that. It's your zone of genius, what lights you up, the work you love doing, no matter what else is going on. That's never a drain. But other things can be, like having to travel for people's events and things like that that are not your zone of genius. And if that's in a phase of your cycle that, or you know, your boss has a deadline, it's not something you love doing, you know, you have to compensate. And all of these little adjustments that you make really add up. Because the problem is, not only are we taught to ignore our symptoms as women, to believe that there's nothing that can be done, but we're also really conditioned to give, 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 and not give to ourselves. So you have this conflagration of ignoring symptoms, not actually supporting our needs over time, and just accepting that we should feel continuously drained and drained and drained. Men don't think this way, but women do, and we should stop, because we can give to ourselves and we can give to others. We don't have to give either one up.
Yeah, and I think that things can only change when the awareness is there, and that's obviously what you're doing here. Yes. With the book and all the work that you have. So you mentioned, what phase are you in again right
I'm
now?
I'm in my luteal phase. I should be bleeding any day.
So let's talk, just cover all the phases.
Sure.
Again.
So there's the follicular phase, which is the phase in which many follicles start to get activated on the ovary, and one will make its debut during ovulation. It will be the chosen one, and it will be released from the ovary during ovulation. And then during the luteal phase, as it travels into the uterus, the hormones at this phase will thicken the lining and hold the lining in place. When conception does not take, those hormones will decrease in concentration, and then when they get to their lowest point, they will signal that it is time to shed the lining, and then we enter the menstrual phase.
And so in that phase that you just described,
the luteal phase,
mm-hmm. What is it? An op, just
what's
big picture
gift? Yeah,
the big picture, you know, you're generalizing, but mm-hmm. Big picture, it's the optimal time for what?
Deep work, getting things done, finishing things. This, when you're in balance, if you have PMS, you will not feel this way, because so progesterone is the hormone that stimulates us to do that. PMS is an insufficiency of progesterone. So if you don't have enough progesterone, you're not going to get stimulated neurochemically to have all this desire to get things done. You're going to feel brain foggy, bloated, tired, moody. That's what you're going to feel. But in balance, you feel like you could do anything, right? Women often experience the true nature of their luteal phase in the second trimester of pregnancy, when they have a huge amount of progesterone and they just feel like building a nursery and getting all these things done, and they get an inordinate amount of stuff done in a very short period of time whilst 3D printing another human being inside their bodies. No big deal, right? This is progesterone. This is your brain on progesterone. It's pretty exciting stuff. And it's the longest phase of the cycle. So that means you are designed to just create so much throughout your life, because you're given every month this 10 to 14 day period of time where you have access to this progesterone in high concentration to finish things. So if I were to personify each of the phases, each of the four phases, to give you sort of the what's the gift of each phase. So the follicular phase, I call it your power cycle, POWR. And so in the follicular phase, you're preparing, you're initiating, you're starting new things. In the ovulatory phase, you're opening up, you're communicating, collaborating, you're opening up. In the luteal phase, you're working, getting things done, completing tasks. tasks, right? Checking things off your to-do list. It feels really good to do that during that phase. Again, you have to clear up your PMS, but you can eat your way out of that. And then in your menstrual phase, you are resting, right? This is when the two hemispheres of the brain, resting is not this passive thing. Resting is an evaluation-based process from a brain point of view, because your right and left hemispheres are communicating the most across the corpus callosum during the menstrual phase. So you want to use this downtime, this inwardly focused time, to evaluate how are things going in your life, in different areas of your life. How's your self-care? How's your relationship? How is work? How is the direction of this project? And it's a beautiful balance nature provides women, right? So you have the balance of the follicular phase and the luteal phase. You initiate things in the follicular phase and you get them done in the luteal phase, right? You are outwardly focused, people-focused in the ovulatory phase, and you are self-focused in the menstrual phase. So you are just so perfectly balanced at the end of every month. You get to touch all of these different needs that you have to start things, to finish things, to be with people, to be with yourself, but in a particular timing. So again, it's not so much focusing on the what for women. It's the when that matters.
And as part of the when, so much of it is breaking, having the awareness to break the idea that we're on somebody else's train. Like we're following somebody else's path,
yeah.
Somebody else's system, somebody else's rhythm, and having the courage to do something else. So when you put out your planner, it's a daily planner?
It's in chapter six.
It's in chapter six. Is there also this sense of kind of looking ahead at the beginning of each cycle,
yes,
and saying, okay, let me think about my month.
Yes.
Let me think about what's happening. Let me think about the next 28 days. How do you teach women to step into that? Is it, you know, literally sitting down, you know.
Chapter six teaches you how to do this. It tells you what is happening in your brain chemistry, what things you are naturally inclined to do. It gives you a chart. Every chapter has a chart. There's a chart for the food in chapter four. There's a chart for your workouts in chapter five. In chapter six is a chart for helping you understand what you're naturally interested in doing. So when you're mapping out your month, whether that be work projects or relationship things or whatever you're trying to plan, you can slot them in the optimal timing for your infradian rhythm. And then the planner just helps you keep track of all that. And we're actually updating our app to incorporate that. So when you go to My Flow Tracker soon, you'll be able to do it all through the app, which is really great. Right now, you're able to get all of this, the extra planner content and workout videos and recipes and meal plans through the cyclesyncingmembership.com so that you can get more, even more content than the book has. And we have thousands of women who have been cycle syncing with us, which is so exciting because they're just optimizing their lives. It's so great. And then there's a chart for what you can do at work. I go into corporations all the time and train female teams on how to use the cycle syncing method at work. And I'm going to just insert this comment because everybody asked me this question. Do we all have to be on the same cycle phase to work together as a team? And the answer is absolutely not. That would be a huge disadvantage. So I have a predominantly female team at Flow Living, and I bank on the fact that none of us are synchronized with our period, which rarely happens anyway. Because, for example, I will schedule a brainstorming session, let's say for social media, in my follicular phase, and I'll be full of 7 million ideas, and my social media director will maybe be in her menstrual phase, and she will be evaluating not only what I'm saying, but also our past history with whatever these ideas are that I'm having. And she'll push back and she'll say, last time we tried that, or last time we tried so many things, it was less effective. What if, we did X, Y, Z? It's a huge asset. And let's say our operations person is then in her luteal phase. She'll say, great, I'll put together the spreadsheet, we'll map it out, and everything starts to flow as a team because we're all in different phases. Do we announce to each other which phase we're in? Well, let me ask you, do you walk into your office in the morning and say, I'm peaking with my testosterone and cortisol, let's do XYZ, right?
No.
You don't, and neither do women have to do that in corporate settings. So it's really exciting to be able to go into companies, big and small, and teach women how to empower themselves. We don't have to change corporate culture from the top down. We just need us as women to be aware of our own dynamic, you know, brain gifts, and to just use them in real time to our advantage, to bring that to teams, to meetings, to conversations. We all have the research. I go into great lengths in chapter seven to really talk about why women are wired for leadership, all the research that is well documented showing that when teams have more females in the team, they perform better. And I would just add this layer. If you bring this extra layer of knowing what your superpower is in that particular moment, you can add even more to your team, regardless of who's on the team, because you're going to have that inner knowing of how to guide that particular conversation in your special way. And of course,
that's beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun to be able to do this. It's just another layer of self-awareness. I mean, we're all trying to get a competitive edge. And I think this is the ultimate competitive edge for women with an active infradian rhythm, is to take full advantage of this in every aspect of her life.
And that is a competitive edge for humanity.
I think when human beings are healthy and happy and self-aware, regardless of their gender, sex, or identity, then we're all happy.
So the first part is like the awareness, right?
That's section one.
Really,
yeah.
And
like, hello, you have an infradian rhythm.
Yes,
and
yes.
All that.
And there's a pre-part to that where you talked about clearing up PMS. We're going to get to that in a second. I have a few questions on that. But within the awareness, even though you don't have to announce it when you come in the door at the office over here or any company that's out there, I imagine that part of it is also proactively communicating with the intimate ones in your lifetime to let them know where you're at and what you want. And one of the ones that you had mentioned in is sex and intimacy.
Yes.
So let's talk about how that plays into the rhythm.
So as I mentioned before, 60% of women are sexually unsatisfied, which is a ridiculous amount of women. This is not good. You know, we talk about when women are happy, you know, other people are happy. I mean, I think this is a great place for women to just get some agency, because it's a very simple fix. The reason why women are I think, unnecessarily unsatisfied is because they are not aware of the fact that they have real physiological changes across their libido and orgasmic response across the infradian cycle, right? So that means you'll have times when you're naturally less self-lubricating. You'll have times where you need more clitoral stimulation to achieve not only the orgasmic plateau, but also climax, right? You'll have times in the cycle where you'll need more emotional connection before the physical connection. This is not just like shots in the dark of, oh, I wonder why last week was fireworks with my partner and this week was like a ho-hum, right? And this, and women, because we've been deprived of all this information, right? It's the same continuum of the conversation. When the diet doesn't work, we think that inner critical voice steps in and it's like, oh, it's my fault. I failed. Something's wrong with me. I lack discipline. I lack willpower. When the fitness plan doesn't work, we don't question the plan. We question ourselves. We criticize ourselves. When our sex life isn't going the way that we would like it to, when 60% of us, to be exact, are not fulfilled sexually, we think there's something wrong with our libido.
And if I could add something to that,
yeah,
the times where it's working and then the next week it's not working, and then you think you're even crazier because it's not just not working once, but it might work, as you were saying earlier, in one phase.
It feels random.
It feels random.
And it's not random. That's the thing. It's predictable. You can plan on it. That's what the scheduler is for. So it's really exciting to be able to just educate women. This is chapter 8 of the book. You have phases where you're more dry, where you must add lubricant. You must add outside lubricant, right? And phases where you don't need any. Right? You have phases where you need more stimulation. You have phases where you will achieve the same orgasmic plateau and climax with less stimulation. And just knowing when that is happening is really empowering to you, because now nothing's wrong with you at all. You just need to work with what's going on.
A perfectly designed system.
Exactly
the way nature intended.
Exactly. Just like men, right? So for example, you make all this testosterone at night. It is optimal for you to be having sex earlier in the day.
And anybody, any man who's had...
You wake up knowing that with a punctuation mark, okay? An exclamation point. And men prefer not to have or to be approached for sex later in the evening because they're exhausted and they're out of testosterone and it drains your energy. Like, did you ever notice you pass out after intercourse at night but not in the morning?
All the time. I will add the benefit that I have the pleasure of interviewing incredible teachers like yourself
yes.
on this podcast. So there's a little bit of awareness, but yes.
Right. So knowing that it isn't because men always fall asleep after they have intercourse. It's because they're doing it at night when they're completely out of cortisol. Now they're draining more cortisol and they're out of testosterone. You're literally doing it on fumes, right? Suboptimal sexual experience for you to do it that late at night. This is not like personal or, you know, it's just a fact. This is just how your biology works. The same is true for women. There's a way our biology works. There's a way you have your sexual energy work across the infradian cycle. It's a fact. You can choose to ignore it and go against it, but your experience, like men at night, will be less pleasurable. And you should expect that, not be surprised by it or caught off guard or start to criticize yourself. And same is true for men. If any man is thinking, gee, what's wrong with me at night? I don't want to have as much intercourse with my partner, or I feel tired, or I can't have the response that I want to have. Do not go into that inner critical voice. This is your biology at play. You need to go to sleep and listen to your body and make more testosterone and try again in the morning, and you'll find you'll have a very different experience.
So I want you to throw out a little teaser. There's a lot of parents.
Wasn't that a tease?
That was great. And we're going to build on that.
Sure.
There's a lot of parents that listen to this podcast. The audience is mostly women, but there are men that listen to this podcast too. And one of the things that you see often, anecdotally, and I think there's some evidence behind this too, is that couples have kids and intimacy kind of plummets to the ground.
I have a kid. I have a husband. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And part of that is the scheduling of intimacy and the, you know, constraints of raising kids and doing that. I don't have kids, but I just talk to my friends. Sure. And we have honest conversations around it. And so what would be an example for a couple that has just recently had kids and now they're not having intimacy as much and they're trying to match up their schedules, how men can better understand women? And you kind of talked about how women can better understand men, that ideal.
I think it's great to understand each other. If you're in a heterosexual relationship, yeah, or if you're in a same-sex relationship, you should seek to not only be self-aware, but aware of your partner's patterns and needs too, because that's part of loving your partner.
It's a huge part of it.
It's a huge gift. That's why I put Partner Sync, by the way, into the MyFlow app, so that you could make your partner psychic, so to speak. I put that in air quotes, because isn't it nice to be able to just give your partner this information, right? So for example, any woman who's using the app can download her partner's email address into the Partner Sync, and then he or she will be given a hormonal dossier of where you are in your infradian cycle, your hormonal pattern, and it'll tell them, you know, these would be ideal activities to do to build emotional intimacy, and here's how to optimize physical intimacy. And that changes across the cycle. So you have a recipe for success as the partner, and the receiver, your partner, the woman who has the app, will feel her needs being so met by you. And so, you know, it just reduces a lot of unnecessary conflict because you're using information and facts to your advantage in the relationship, which is one of the things I talk about in that chapter. But yes, when you have kids, you have to also factor in the different stages of having children. So there's like the infancy, newborn stage. Nobody's having sex, and that is okay, because women have a 3-month postpartum period that must be honored for her to have long-term health. You have to recover in an appropriate way. You must not be cycle syncing during this phase. You must be eating in a very particular way for postpartum for 3 months. You must be resting and remineralizing the body. And remember, everyone, whoever is involved in having the child, that the person who carried it, we get all excited about 3D printing. Literally, women 3D print human beings. Do you know how many micronutrients, omega-3 fatty acids, blood, white blood, everything goes into doing that? To then have an expectation that she should be jumping around, doing a bunch of things, and also be interested in having sex is unrealistic and not biologically appropriate. So we have to have a better understanding of the postpartum period so that expectations are level set, so that no one's upset about what's happening with sex. And also, typically, men or women who are having the child with the woman who made the baby is also exhausted, because the baby's waking everybody up in the middle of the night all the time because their blood sugar can't stabilize for several months and they have to feed very regularly. And that's just part of their development. So then once you sort of cross into the 6-month mark, things start to stabilize out with nap schedules, and then it becomes very easy for people to start to reconnect physically because nap schedules can be so predictable. Things just, and this is where knowing about where you are in your phase can be really helpful if your period has returned, because then you can say, okay, we have half an hour. I'm in a phase where I know I need lubricant. Let's not waste any time. We need more stimulation. Let's do the things that are going to achieve the results that we want. So you may think, oh, gee, that's taking some of the romance out of it. But that is one of the things that I think Esther Perel talks really well about mating in captivity in her wonderful book. When you're in a partnership like that and you've taken on parenting, part of what becomes romantic is that attention to those types of details. Like, I care enough about you and your pleasure to take that all into consideration in making the recipe for the meal tonight, whatever that is, our physical intimacy meal, right? Instead of just being focused on, am I getting my needs met? Where are we meeting our needs together? It just becomes a different game. We're playing a different game together. And then as the kid gets older, like I have a 5-year-old, right? So we like to plan things during our optimal time, which is more of a daytime activity. So we have to schedule that really creatively because nights during the week can be very late and exhausting, and neither one of us have energy for maybe full nights of activity. So we do a couple of things. We'll either schedule mini sessions during the week where we may not do everything that we can do, but we'll do some things that give us that sense of physical intimacy. And then when we can during the day have a more drawn out session, we maybe drop the kid off for a play date, or we do things, we get creative to have some time alone carved out where we can just be physically together without any of the constraints of that. And you have to coordinate that, and you have to schedule that.
Yeah, coordination is like really the key, and that can happen when there's awareness.
And it's a good practice because not only do you have these lifestyle changes when you have children, but then when men and women or women and women go through andropause and menopause, and perimenopause for that matter, andropause starts at 25 for men, perimenopause starts at 35 for women, and then everybody becomes postmenopausal or post, you know, there's not actually a word for it, but men do get downshift into a lower state of testosterone, you know, after 65. So when everybody, you have to be sensitive to each other's changing biology. You might meet when everybody's young and full of energy, but as you stay together as a couple, your biochemistry changes, what you need changes, and actually practicing the cycle syncing method in your four phases of your cycle sets you up to really have the self-awareness, the partner awareness, to really navigate these life stage changes as you go through them. And I actually think this is so important that there's a whole section just describing these different life stages, how to really navigate them with yourself and with your partner, because I think we could do more, like biohacking our entire lives, biohacking our relationships to set those up for more success too with this type of awareness.
So I promised that we would talk about PMS because twice in the podcast earlier you said, okay, once you're in flow and you're honoring those rhythms, but you said you have to clear up the PMS. So just expand on that
top level. You have to clear up a lot of things. There are two magical non-numbered chapters in this book. They're the biohacking toolkit chapters. One of them answers all of your questions. What if I have PMS? What if I have PCOS? What if I have fibroids? What if I have an irregular cycle? What if I have very heavy bleeding? Then there's a whole chapter about what if I'm on birth control of any sort.
Because it's like those are foundational to be able to be in that sync, because
you're
you can't
right.
be in the sync and you can't be fully in the rhythm with those things and those challenges that are there.
If your cycle, so a normal cycle, a healthy cycle is anywhere from 26 to 32 days. You know, this is a standard deviation. This 28-day concept is just a placeholder. It's more now like a mnemonic device. When
like 98.6.
Exactly. You're so smart. So that's why I like talking to you.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's great. So understanding that there's this, you know, pattern, you want to recognize if you have anything that's beyond that deviation, right? If you have a very short cycle, a very long cycle, a cycle with lots of symptoms, those are indications that your hormones, these ratios of hormones that govern each of these four phases, might not be in optimal concentration or ratio, right? You might not have enough estrogen during the ovulatory phase to stimulate brain in verbal and social centers of the brain. You might not have enough progesterone in the luteal phase to, you know, feel that stimulation to get things done. You might have a lot of symptoms. You want to get back into balance. And so that section of the book really helps you that. That's what the Flow Living Hormone Centered helps women with. The supplements that I formulated, the monthly flow program that really takes women through the flow protocol, that's what that is for. And once you get that foundation of a functioning endocrine system and your infradian rhythm is functioning optimally, then you can start to just do the cycle syncing method with absolutely everything so that you can feel your best and not get back into a situation where you're having hormonal issues again, right? Which is another nice thing too. I've been in remission with my PCOS for almost 20 years now. No, exactly 20 years. So how I've been able to do that is of course by using the cycle syncing method. And then if you're on birth control, I just, you know, without going way down that rabbit hole, what I do want you to know and be aware of is that when you're taking medication that suppresses your hormones, which is what birth control does, you deactivate your infradian rhythm. So you flatline it in a way. You don't have the brain changes. You don't have the metabolism changes. You don't have the cortisol level changes. You're in this phaseless zone. You're not, and this is why women will feel like they become, there's a greater incidence of depression that takes place when you take this medication. There's weight gain. There's a fogginess, moodiness. There's all sorts of things that become disrupted. Why? Because it's impacting these six different systems of the body. Your sex drive can be permanently dampened because of the effect of this medication on sex hormone binding globulin. Your immune system and microbiome can become dysfunctional because of the micronutrient depletion that takes place from taking this medication, whether it's orally inserted, implanted. So it's really important to understand the opportunity cost of taking this medication because it's not being presented to women enough in a clear way. They think it's like a solution for problems when it is not. It does not cure any of those menstrual disorders at all. It just puts a Band-Aid on them. And then again, it really deactivates this exciting, wonderful gift that you have of the infradian rhythm. And then women often will stay on this medication for almost the entire time they have access to the infradian rhythm. And then when they get off, they really feel the loss of that opportunity.
And there's so much that has to be, I'm just going to put this in quotes, but like cleaned up afterwards. And there are great solutions and things that are out there. You write a lot about this.
That's one of the reasons why I formulated the balanced supplements, because we have so much, birth control fallout syndrome after. We need to replenish these micronutrients to get ourselves into a place where we can start to reactivate fully, not just our infradian cycle, but just the conversation between the brain, the pituitary gland, the ovaries, the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary ovarian axis needs to be reactivated. And oftentimes that can take a lot longer than is described to women. Like, oh, you go off the pill, your period will come right back. Many women who've been on birth control of any type will tell you that, in fact, sometimes it doesn't come back. Or if it comes back, it's not the same in any healthy way. This is not ideal for women, you know, in a way to treat these disorders, right? These hormonal disorders. It's not a cure. So let's use things that are, you know, really going to get at the root causes, which is the endocrine disruption. And then, understand that this mythology around pregnancy fear, right, is when we look at the facts, your egg is only viable for 24 to 48 hours, and sperm in a very healthy individual will be viable for 3 to 5 days. So you have an exposure for conception, if you're concerned about it, for maybe 5 to 7 days at most, depending on how you time that. And having worked with so many people who struggle with infertility, I will tell you that getting pregnant and timing the encounter of the sperm and the egg optimally is very difficult. So the whole premise of just doing it for the purpose of conception, when we look at just how small the exposure is over the course of the month, also becomes a new question mark. There are other means of preventing pregnancy, barrier methods, etc., that don't require you to deactivate your infradian rhythm.
And potentially have lifelong consequences from that. And, you know, it's sort of like I've heard a practitioner, one of the practitioners that we had on the podcast before say, you know, birth control maybe took us here and there's a lot of beautiful things that it brought society.
100%.
And now it's like with the deeper informed consent that women deserve and need because it's their own body and they're the CEO of their health, just like men are the CEO of their health too. Now it's like, okay, what's going to take us to the next level? What's going to bring us in natural sync with nature and our bodies?
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, the pill and all of that has been an enormous boon for women, and women should have the choice to use and do whatever they want. But I'm just so eager to get this information in front of women earlier, because what I have heard over the two decades I've been working with women is, gee, Lisa, if only I had known this information sooner, I wouldn't have made that choice, right? And I just want women to have the information from now on, so whatever choice they make, they know what to do. If you're going to take that medication, take the right supplements alongside with it. And when you need to come off of it, do that in the right way. And if you're not going to go on it, know what to do to take care of your fertility journey as well. I mean, now with all the technology, basal body trackers, temperature trackers, you know, bracelets, I mean, this is something that you can get serious bio-individual data, technological support to help you know exactly when you're fertile so you can take the right steps to prevent pregnancy.
For the woman who's listening to this podcast and is like completely like turned on, which is everybody, brain is on fire listening and finally feeling like they have a little glimmer of hope if they've been suffering from some of these symptoms. That's not everybody, but some people are. Also for the men that are listening to the podcast and feel like they want to support the women in their life and they can relate to some of the things that you were talking about. But also those people have felt like maybe they've tried a lot of different stuff, the different things that are out there. Speak to that woman or man that's listening here and help them understand what the hope is around the material and the book and everything that you're doing out there, what you're putting out there and what the mission is.
I mean, I want to just honor the fact that you have tried so many things and you've been disappointed, and that it can feel like, you know, can you trust something new? I know that that was a feeling that I had. And for me, the only way I feel safe to do anything with my health is to make sure that I have the science there in black and white, the facts, to understand that what I'm doing makes sense.
All the way back to that original story that you were telling us.
I am just very consistent as a person. And so I wanted to help you be able to move, take this paradigm shift in your life, but to do it in a way that you could feel very safe. So what I did in writing this book is build you a bridge of science to walk across from where you are right now to where I know you can be living, eating, working out, having the best sex of your life, being a change agent in the world, accomplishing your mission and goals and dreams in a way that builds your energy and you're not drained and overwhelmed, to that place, right? And you can learn about how your body works and you can get excited about it and you can feel validated, and then you can start to take those steps. And you don't have to do it all at once. That's the other wonderful thing. You know, I mentioned the 80-20 rule with, you know, pesticide and foods and organic foods, right? You don't have to get in the flow in all these areas of your life. In fact, be a researcher. I would prefer you take this on as an experiment, right? Just start with the workouts or start with some of the foods. In fact, if you go to intheflowbook.com and you drop in your purchase code, you'll be able to get access to a quick start guide that gives you very bite-sized action items for three of the areas. You can pick one and just do it for a month. Pick one of the three areas, food, fitness, or work, and start to see how you feel. If you start to feel more energy balance, if you start to feel more clear-headed, if you start to feel more, you know, optimistic, positively mood based, then, you know, see by adding in the next layer, right? If you start with food, then add in fitness. If you start with fitness, then go ahead and add in the food. And then once you get into a groove with that, once you feel comfortable with that, then go ahead and add in the time management piece or your project management piece. But you can be creative and you could start anywhere. You could just start with your sex life, right? That could be solo play or partner play. You can start to just see the power of your biology in action and see, wow, when I play to my biological rhythm reality, I get a better yield for my effort.
Fantastic. That's the idea. That's the mission. The book is out. In the flow.
No W. In the flow.
In the flow. Unlock your hormonal advantage and revolutionize your life. So you mentioned the book website, In the Flow, F-L-O, book.com.
Yep.
And that's where people can buy the book, get access to the bonuses that are there. But we have a bunch of other things that you mentioned. I want to make sure we do a little bit of a recap.
I have there's a lot of ones for a long time.
And yes, they're going to be in the show notes. So you can click on show notes on the podcast or visit the blog and you can see them all. But let's just cover them really quickly. So there is a quiz.
Yes. So on the book site, intheflowbook.com, if you click on there's a tab on the top right called quiz. This is going to help you evaluate your biological rhythm score. To what extent are you disrupting your infradian rhythm? It's a really interesting evaluation. I want you to take it and see what's going on for you. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. And it just, again, gives you some information to help you get motivated to make some changes. So that's on the intheflowbook.com website. Then there's the app to help you know, well, gee, which phase of my cycle am I in? Well, there's an app for that. I built it and it'll tell you. It's the only functional medicine, nutrition, period tracking app that'll help you understand why you're having a breakout, why you're having a cramp, what is the root cause of that, and what you can do to start improving that in real time. But it also will tell you which phase of the cycle you're in and give you a quick recap of what you should be doing to support that aspect of your infradian rhythm across brain, relationships, fitness, food, work. So it's the only cycle syncing app.
And that's at myflowtracker.com.
Correct.
Yeah. Also F-L-O, no W.
No W.
And then there are a quick start guide.
That's when you
go to the book website.
All at the book website.
Amazing.
And then, of course, if you're someone who's really needing support, you want to talk to one of our flow coaches, you need help with some of the, you know, if you have a diagnosed condition, you need support, you can go to flowliving.com. If you're someone who is looking for supplements that are designed to optimize your endocrine system, at flowliving.com, you can find the supplement line there. So we have a ton of resources. We also have a wonderful weekly newsletter that's free to help you learn. We like to call it the bleeding edge of women's health content. So you can really understand what is going on with your health, with your concerns, with your symptoms, and that you just have to pop in your email address for at flowliving.com.
And lastly, you're on social. You're pretty active on Instagram.
Yes. So we have Flow Living at Flow Living, and we also have my personal, which is at alisa.vidi.
Alisa Vidi, this has been a pleasure to have you on the podcast and talk about getting into sync in our bodies. It's not just a topic for women, although it's going to change their lives when they step into it. It's a topic for men too. And it's the best way to support anybody to get into the biological rhythms of their life. And I commend you on your work. And I thank you for writing this book that's going to impact the lives of so many people moving forward.
Thank you, Drew, for having me.
It's been an honor. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.